Father, it is so good to know you. Scripture says it is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We certainly have done that, and we certainly know that you are good. As we enter your word now, we do not enter in with presumptuousness, but rather we enter in with reverence. And we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And where I pray in particular that you come to anoint me afresh, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. I further ask that the same unction you put upon me, put it upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who hear me remotely, electronically. So this word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled and tempered and powered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit of God. Father, we pray that as we speak, Lord, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, the power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear, not hearers only. We also pray for mercy, to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I will do it indeed with precision. Redeem the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of your word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all who's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said, Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. And in my last lesson, I believe we stopped in verse 8. And previously, Peter has been talking to us about humility. And we took time last, in our last lesson, to go in detail. You know, humility is an attitude of submitting to the will of God even when you don't feel like it. I should actually use the word especially when you don't feel like it. You know, and really that's a very simple functional definition of what humility is. And the consequence of humility is that you will cast your care upon Him. So when God tells you to do something and you don't feel like doing it, or it's bringing anxiety or worry, you submit to God and you put your confidence in God, which of course will lead to prayer, because the way you cast your care upon God is by praying. And so Philippians, we looked at this, chapter 4 verses 6 says, you know, be careful or don't worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let our request be known to God. And he says, if you do that with that attitude of humility and a sufficient amount of the power and the grace of God flowing through that prayer, the consequence of it will be, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. And we brought out the fact that if that doesn't happen, go and check your attitude. Because God's not a liar. And if he says, if you bring your prayers and supplications, you don't worry about anything, you bring in prayer, and you don't have peace, go and check the attitude. Hence the scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, it's a powerful scripture where it says, you know, keep your heart with all diligence, you know. No, but, you know, practically how do you do that? How do I keep my heart? It's talking about my attitudes. It means I should keep a close watch on my attitudes, you know, particularly the attitudes of honesty, accepting the truth of God's word, you know, especially when it's runs cross-grain, whatever religious traditions or my own preconceived ideas. You know, we've all grew up with all kinds of junk in our hearts and in our minds. So, number one, you accept the truth of God's word. Number two, you submit to what you have accepted. That's humility. They're very close together. Honesty and humility. And it's a thing you need to watch daily, because it's so easy for the heart to shift. So easy, the travails of this world, the vicissitudes of life, you know, tradition and all kinds of, you know, peer pressure, all kinds of things causes you to shift. Sometimes you shift, you don't even realize you've shifted. You know? That's why it says, do it with all diligence. So you keep your heart with all diligence. You maintain that attitude and increase the attitude of honesty and humility. Sufficient mercy and grace will flow. So when you pray, the power of God will go in two directions. One, it will go and start working on your heart to keep your heart in mind so that you won't worry. Secondly, you start working on your circumstances to cause all things, so that that care you cast upon God, you will find that God will actually take care of it. But that's how the system works. And that's why the apostle tells us we should all be clothed with humility. He first of all says the younger, then he says the elder, then he says all of us. And we brought out the fact that even the Godhead, all the three persons of Godhead are humble. They submit one to another because God is a plurality. So humility is not something, it's something God has had from eternity. It's an intrinsic part of God's character. God is a very humble person. You know, and you see this in the Bible. You see the three persons of the Godhead submitting one to another. I showed you from Jesus submitting to the Father. You see the Lord Holy Spirit submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. You even see the Father himself submitting. Well, he submitted to Moses, but really it wasn't Moses. It was the Holy Ghost that made Moses pray that prayer and give Moses that counsel. Who is the Spirit of counsel? The Holy Spirit. And he says, God, don't kill all these people at once. He didn't say don't kill them. So not at once. I'll talk about that later today. He said, because if you do that, it'll look like a mess. You know, and they'll say you couldn't take care of them. God said, all right, that's good counsel. Submitted to it. Even though God didn't feel like that, you know, the way God felt was to deal with them now. He said, Moses, move. Let me deal with them now. I will wipe them out as one man, and I will raise a great nation out of them. And he meant it. But God had to do what he didn't feel like doing. God had to submit to the will of God when he didn't feel like it. That's the true definition of humility. Very, very, very accurate. And so you need to watch that in your heart and in your life. You watch it, you know. And that's why one of the prayers in our prayer book that we gave to us, you know, and this is not just for scripture, but it's for everybody really, do this daily. Judge yourself. You know, many times we wait until communion. Now, communion is good because it's a physical ceremony and it has physical emblems. God did it because most men are natural. And they can relate to what they can touch and what they can touch and eat. So God instituted the ceremony of communion to put us in remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection. You know, his death, his shed blood and all that. And the condition for communion being effective is judgment. That is, you don't condemn, but you are honest about what you're doing right or what you're not doing right. And then you make a decision to change it. And then when you now take the bread and the wine, it gives you the spiritual strength and power to back that decision. Amen? But the truth about the matter is you don't have to wait until communion before you do that. You should do that daily. You judge yourself daily. Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, we do that in communion, but you can also do that just by confessing your sins, you know, and being honest about it and submitting yourself to the will of God. In fact, you should. You should judge yourself daily. That way you'll be watching that attitude. So every day in the morning, before you start praying, before you start opening your mouth, the first thing is to judge yourself. And make sure all the attitudes, the honesty, humility, if it's shifted a little bit, you correct it. You know, that way you'll be keeping your heart with all diligence. And then when you have the right attitude of honesty and humility, there'll be sufficient grace. Then out of it will flow the forces of life. Right. This morning we want to look at verses 8 through 11 by the mercy and the grace of God. And let's read it together. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Everybody say, be sober. Oh, I didn't hear you. You're not talking like sober people. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil. Don't your neighbor say, you know your adversary is the devil? Not your husband. Not your wife. Not your mother-in-law. Hello. and not that terrible man in the office. Hello. You know, we choose our own adversaries, you know, but God's given us only one adversary. The devil, and of course all his principalities and powers and all the people under it. You're real, you know, it will help your Christian life tremendously if you stop seeing people as your enemy. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, are people bad? Yes, there are some bad people who want to do bad things, but even then, they're not your enemy. The enemy is the devil, who is working through their will, their mind, and their emotions to do the bad things they're doing to you. If you circumvent the human being and cut off the supply line of the enemy to them, the same people who are being bad to you, they'll come at peace with you. It says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he will. How is he going to do it? You cut the enemy off in the spirit. Then the same person who was bad will now be at peace with you. Stop fighting people. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I've heard silly Christians say things like, oh, he's not a roaring lion. He's only pretending to be one. And he can't, and God, and Jesus took his teeth. I tell you something, he's killed so many Christians. No, he is a roaring lion. He is. And he can devour you if you let him. But the good news is that there are two lions. There's a lion who's the adversary. Then there's another lion who's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the lion of the tribe of Judah is stronger than the lion who's the adversary. Now, if you allow the lion of the tribe of Judah to work through you and roar out of Zion, yeah. Hallelujah, amen, you'll overcome this lion. Amen. But to say he's not a lion is foolishness. Amen. To say he cannot devour is foolishness and presumptuousness. And that's why so many Christians are getting devoured. Of course, it was E.W. Kenyon, I think, who wrote this. You know, thank God for good spiritual fathers. You know, Pastor G, one thing I help you is I ate the right food when I got born again. So I didn't have all this rubbish in my head. You know, when I came to Nigeria, I was shocked at some of the things I was hearing. Thank God, God had, you know, used that first year to establish me. I was like, what is this guy saying? You know, now I'll tell you something. You know, E.W. Kenyon said, Satan is a worthy adversary. Is that magnifying the devil? No, he's putting him in his place. There are two things you shouldn't do with the devil. Don't overrate him, and certainly don't underestimate him. Satan is not God. He's not almighty. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. But is he powerful? Yes. Who gave him his power? God. Why? The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Does he have wisdom? Yes. Is it corrupted? Yes. But it's still wisdom. That's why he's tricky. The stupidest thing you can do is to underestimate the devil. Or to overestimate. Some people are afraid of the devil. The devil is not all powerful. Do you understand? And truly, the Lord just has defeated him. If you will use your tools and you will use your weapons, you can put Satan in his place. Are you listening to me? But don't get into all this silliness and say, oh, he's not a roaring lion. He's just making noise. He can't do anything. All the guys who said that, most of them are dead. Because of presumptuousness and foolishness. Amen. Careful what you allow to seep into your subconscious. Next verse. Whom resist? If the guy couldn't do anything to you, why would the devil, God, tell you to resist him? If he was a toothless bulldog, why would God tell you to resist him? Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The good news is that you're not in this fight alone. You're not the only one going through a tough time. Everybody's going through a tough time. It doesn't matter how nice they look in church on Sunday. You know, that is the foolishness, again, that Satan puts in the hearts of people. You know, you'll see people say, I wish I was like those people. Well, go on, any problem. You don't want to know. In marriages and all of that, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Got everybody smiling on Sunday? And sitting together doesn't mean all is well. I have defined this, and I'm going to keep defining it. You know, a perfect marriage is not one without problems. A perfect marriage is one in which the wisdom of God, the love of God, and the power of God are constantly used to overcome the problems. There is no utopia that's called you don't have any problem. If you're on this earth, you have problem. You know why? Because of this guy. That's why it says, knowing the same afflictions, the same attacks are being experienced by all your brethren. So long as they're in the world, though, they're going to have problem. In the world, thank you, Pastor G. You know, unless you're smarter than Jesus. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Amen. Take it to the bank. But the good news is, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, so let him bring it on. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Well, yeah, but you know, I'm not foolish enough to say, oh, there's no problem, there's no devil, you know, everything else, you know, that's foolishness. And sadly, that's the category, that's the place majority of Christians fall into. Because they don't want to take responsibility. So, you know, their pastors even tell them lies. Oh, don't worry. You know, if the man just puts anointing oil on your head and just does his hand like this, all your problem will disappear. Nothing could be farther from the truth. That anointing oil isn't going to do a thing. You know, it might give you a temporary relief until the service is over. Once you step out of that door, Satan is waiting for you. You know, many times when we're in a service like this, we have a corporate anointing that helps lift the burden. You know, solves a problem, which is great, you know, but you've got to learn how to fight yourself. A good soldier, not a silly one, not a lazy one, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, fight the good fight of faith. You're supposed to fight, folks, hallelujah, and this fight is a daily fight. There are no holidays. Even when you are on holiday. You know, my wife and I, when I go on holiday, I still get up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to do my prayers. Then we can go out, have fun and all of that. But the fact that I'm on holidays, it doesn't do away with the fact that I have to pray. Or the enemy will have you for lunch. Next verse. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to suffer. But you're also going to be glorified. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect. Everybody say perfect. Say one. Establish. Say two. Strengthen, say three. And stab and settle you, say four. There are four stages of perfection. I'll come and bring them to you later. But you know, this is and the Holy Spirit deliberately inspired the writer Peter, and from the Greek and the English, you know, to specify it. He's going to perfect you. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. And he's going to say, there's a time in your Christian life where you are settled. You become established in the faith. You know, nothing comes that's going to fuzzle you. The Bible calls it rest. There is a rest to the people of God. The rest does not mean inactivity. It just means you've reached a position where all satanic opposition have been overcome. You've learned under the Holy Spirit through the suffering. You've learned how to deal with the devil. So you're settled. It doesn't matter what comes. You know exactly how to respond. You respond that way and you keep overcoming him. Hallelujah. He that is born of God how keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. That guy is settled. It doesn't mean the devil is not there, but he has so learned how to deal with the devil that it's as if he's not there. He's there. But we've now settled how to deal with him. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. Next verse. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. That's where we're going to stop. Now, let's quickly try and take this to pieces by the Holy Spirit as God enables and allows us. Now, the first thing we need to understand is that we need to be sober and to be vigilant. What does that mean practically? Give this, go back to verse, yes. Now, let me have this in the Amplified Bible. Be well balanced. I like that. Temperate. Sober of mind, be vigilant, and I like this, cautious. You know, a smart person, a good soldier is cautious on the war front, because you don't know where the enemy is. You know, there are minefields, do you understand? There are all kinds of ambushes. You don't just walk anyhow. Papa Raph told us some years ago, walking like a barefooted priest. You watch where you put your leg, because you're on enemy territory. You don't want to go and step on a bomb. Do you know Jesus was like this? He says, and when they sought to kill him, Jesus walked. That's being cautious. That's not being stupid. It's not being presumptuous. Just go. He says, and when they sought to kill, he was cautious. A good soldier is cautious. Be sober. Be sober-minded. You know, the opposite of sober is drunk. I don't know how many people know that. Pastor G is laughing. You can ask us. The opposite of sober is drunk. So, if I know when a person is drunk, you're not very aware of what's going on around him. You know, when they're drunk, you know, sometimes, I still remember years ago, when a guy is drunk, you know, you have to try and help him, take him to the car, put him on the seat, and then you'll be talking to him and say, you know, sorry. And the next morning, he can't even remember so many of the things that happened that he said. So many Christians are like that, but not spiritual. They're drunk spiritually. They're not aware of what's going on. You know, they're not sober. You need to have a sober mind. And how do you do that? The scriptures do not leave us in be sober and be vigilant. You know, I see the whole Bible is interconnected, folks. You know, and see what the Lord tells us here. I've written some notes here. He said, the way you become, you're sober and vigilant by putting on the whole armor of God and watching and praying always. There's no shortcut. That's the way you're going to be sober. You see, when you watch and pray, and I like the way the Lord said, he said always, always. You're in constant communion and fellowship with God at the thought level. The life of God is constantly flowing from your spirit to the mind. The mind is where you're supposed to be sober. So to be sober spiritually, you need to constantly have your mind bathed. The life of God is constantly flowing from the spirit to the mind, keeping the mind enlightened. That way you are aware of what's going on spiritually. You're not spiritually blind. You know, and that's the way to do it. And I want to share this with you. The Lord shared it with me recently. I'm sure I've mentioned it in passing here in church, but I want to emphasize it today, you know, in this Bible study. Go to Ephesians 6. And this was written by a guy who should know. His name is Paul. By the Holy Spirit, of course. You know, and he... In Ephesians 6, I'm just going to pick some verses. I'm not going to read everything because of time. You know, look at verse 12 to start with. Ephesians 6, verse 12. And I talked about this earlier on. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, human beings are not your problem. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Just in very, very briefly, you need to understand that in the satanic kingdom, there are hierarchies. Just like in the natural. I just use a simple natural illustration to explain this. You've got local government, you've got state government, you've got federal. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? So, President Buhari, for example, is at the federal level, the head of the Nigerian government. Then you have under him, you have senators. Then you have governors, you know. And then you have House of Rep, you have local government chairman. That's what is meant by principalities. A principality is, even in the natural, you know, in places like France, you've got the Principality of Monaco. You know, even the Vatican, it's called a principality. What it means is that it's a seat of government, though small. So what happens, Satan is so clever. What happens is this. Every hierarchy of human government that you have, Satan attaches a demon to it. Are you listening to it? We say demon, but you know, you have different levels of demons and all the same. You know, you've got ones that are like Lucifer, Gabriel and Michael. Now, Gabriel and Michael didn't fall. Lucifer's an archangel, you know, with that kind of spiritual capacity. Not everybody has that. You know, then you have ones that are a little bit below those ones, you know. So what he does is that he assigns wicked spirits over continents. The Bible talks about the prince of Persia. Over, you know, in those days, Persia wasn't just one small. It was many, many, many countries. Today, it would probably be equivalent to a continent. Do you understand? Then there are princes over nations. Then there are princes over regions. When we used to have eastern region, western region, you know, today we call them states. You know, Oyo State, Nasarawa, you know, Gombe, and so on and so forth. Each state has a principality, a wicked spirit, who is his job is to try and control the man who is ruling. And it would be sad if they don't have some good Christians who can counteract that thing. He would just be manipulating them, which is what happens in many cases, you know, and so on and so forth. So these are real enemies, and they are strategically situated in these positions. So that's why he uses this hierarchical system that actually corresponds to human governments. Because that's exactly what they do. That's why I call them rulers of the darkness. They rule of this world and the wicked spirits in heavenly places. And trust me, these boys are wicked. Very wicked. All the things you see, you hear on the earth today. I read something in newspaper yesterday, you know, online. I was shocked to my, you know, it happened here in Nigeria. There was a young boy in Benin. His mommy didn't give him money. He went in to the house and stabbed his mother with a bottle. He broke a beer bottle and ripped her womb and killed her. Here in Benin, you know that's not natural. Your mommy doesn't. She said she didn't give him money for his school fees, or you know, he was a university guy, and he was frustrated. A demon came in. That's not normal. Do you understand? A principality, a wicked. That's why it's wicked. A wicked spirit took over his mind, and his emotions and his feelings. And that same person, he may be regretting it now. That's why, you know, don't your neighbor say, don't mess around with prayer. And don't give room to the devil. And let him take over your mind and your will and your emotions for 1 or 2 hours. The Yoruba say, magic oshiru yellow. That means don't let Satan borrow you for a few. For imagine, you, in 1 hour, the havoc he would have created, by the time he lets you go back. A lifetime of regrets. Allah Majakari. So these are enemies. Now, verse 13. Wherefore, this is a very important instruction. He has told you what you are facing. Wherefore? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sure you know what wherefore means. It means therefore. Let's say it properly. Say, because of the principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the wicked spirits in heavenly places, the powers. It is for that reason. That is therefore. That is why it is therefore that you must put on, not half, the whole armor of God. Chochiwa. Wherefore? Because you are fighting and you're wrestling and you're being attacked by these horrible wicked spirits. It is compulsory that you put on the whole armor of God. Amen. We're going to get that in a minute. Not some. There's a reason why he said the whole armor. It means that it's possible to put on the armor partially and leave some places exposed. And you know that's what happens to so many Christians. I'm going to show you as we go on. So, exposed in this area or exposed in that area. And Satan, being a master strategist, he will divert you in this area where you are strong. He will feint an attack. And then he'll get you moving that area. Then the exposed part. Mercy, Lord. They are called familiar spirits. They know your history. They know your father. They know your grandfather. They know your great grandfather. They were here before the missionaries came. Oh, yes. Your whole file is inside, is with them. So they know exactly where to press your buttons. You know why? They are familiar with you. They are familiar with your family. But the good news is you can overcome them. I don't want to overemphasize the devil. The good news is that if you do this thing, if you will take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What's the corollary? If you don't take on the armor of God, you can't resist in the evil day. And having done some to stand. And having done all to stand. All. Whole. Armor. Same thing. It means there are certain things that have to be in place. To be able to successfully and effectively, I'm going to use a very simple language everybody can understand. Police the enemy. He needs to be policed. He's an outlaw. Now, when you know, thank God the government, you know, they're trying to help the police now. You see, some of the state governments are supporting them, even private organizations. They're buying them now, you know, tanks and walkie-talkies and computers and everything. If a police force is not properly equipped, it can't deal with crime. Spiritually, if you're not properly equipped, if you don't put on the whole armor of God and you haven't done all to stand, you can't police the devil. Next verse. Wherefore, and stand therefore. Then he now begins to say, your loins are God. I'm not going to go through all of this. I'm just going to jump straight to verse 17. These are all important, don't misunderstand, but I'm going to like summarize them. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every other thing before that is defensive. This is offensive. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What do you do with it? Put it under your pillow. Hello, somebody. Amen. Stick it in your library. So when everybody comes to your house, they say, come and see my Bible. Fine ones. They printed it in 1974. You know? Special red letter edition. Silly fellow. He's not talking about putting the Word of God under your pillow. He's not talking about putting the Word of God inside your heart. He's not talking about carrying it every Sunday to church. Everybody will see that you have dicks. I remember when I was a young Christian, my first Bible was a dicks. I used to show off. It was a great Bible. Don't misunderstand. It was a great Bible. You know, I still have my copy somewhere. You know, although, to be honest, in my own case, to the glory of God, I didn't just hold it all. I put it inside. It's no good under your pillow. It's no good on the shelf. There is no magic that's going to make the Bible work simply because you put it inside your house. It only works in the heart. If it's not in the heart, it can't work. It works in the heart and in the mouth. Then verse 18, the punchline. Hallelujah. Praying! Sometimes, when you feel like it, on Independence Day of Nigeria like this, when pastor said we should fast. You know, some people don't pray, they don't take prayer seriously until the church announces that there's something special, then we all come and we pray, you know. No. This part of putting on the whole, you can't do it your way. Praying always with all. I like the two alls. It means there's more than one kind of prayer. We'll get to that in a minute. And all prayer and supplication, and then he defines it in the spirit. He's not, this one's not talking with your understanding and, you know, making noise and disturbing heaven. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? This one has to be by the utterance of the Holy Ghost to make it pointed and effective. The Holy Ghost, who can see all the things that the enemy is doing that you cannot see. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, he has seen him afar off. He knows exactly. I don't know if you know this or not. He made him. You know, I don't know how many of you know the Holy Ghost is not just he's not a cloud. He's not a feeling. He's a person. The third person of the Godhead, and he was there when Satan was created. So trust me, he can deal with him. Give the Holy Ghost a clap offering. Hallelujah. He can deal with him. The question is, will you let him? You're the portal. You're the door through which he can move to deal with him. You shut that mouth, you limit him. Now, let me quickly summarize this as the Lord helps me. There are three main categories of things we want to deal with here. The first one is, everybody say, put on the whole armor of God. The second one is, take the sword of the Spirit. And the third one is, praying always all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I have grouped them like that deliberately. Because when you understand it like that, you will know each day how to do it. So you're doing it properly. The first thing, notice the first thing was to put on, you don't go into battle without an armor. How many people know that? Ask any policeman, ask any proper warrior. You don't go into battle without an armor. You go with a battle and armor, you can easily, you're vulnerable. So the first thing is to put on the whole armor of God. But you know, the whole God gave us revelation some years ago. It's so simple now. It's love. You know why? God is love. So the armor of God is the armor of love. Now, watch this. How do I put on the whole armor of love? What is love? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and patience. All those 9 fruits of the Spirit constitute the love of God. So for me to put on the whole armor, I've got to put all the fruits of the Spirit on daily. So simple. And that's why I've introduced that prayer that I brought to the church. The Lord said this to me. I've been doing it. I mean, if you do 1 Corinthians 13:48, that's what you're doing effectively. But you know, you can summarize it and do it, you know, so that you are sure you put on everything. So you say, Father, I confess my sins and clean with the blood. In Jesus' name I have life. I say, Father, fill my will, my mind, my emotions, my body, and my circumstances. Even your circumstances need to have the armor. Isn't that what Philippians said? And the peace of God shall keep all your heart and mind. Gary Sinai, give it to me in the Amplified. I will come back to the prayer in a minute. Philippians chapter 4. Ooh, glory to God. I'm not talking to anybody. Philippians chapter 4. Don't freeze me now. Verse 7. Right. Okay. In the Amplified. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul, blah, blah, blah. You know, so fair, nothing. But the point I want to get is, which transcends all understanding and shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts, your back, and your circumstance. It's good to use practical examples, you know, from scripture to start with. You know, why do you think the Lord Jesus Christ was not afraid when they woke him up and the water was entering the boat? The others were afraid. Peter was afraid. John was afraid. Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus didn't panic. His heart and mind had been garrisoned. You know, incidentally, the reason why he was sleeping was that he had got up early in the morning to pray. So he was tired. How many of Jesus got tired? So he was sleeping. The Bible says he fell asleep on a pillow. He deliberately went to rest, like I'm learning to do. I'm being honest. There's a time, yes, get up early in the morning, you pray, then they will take an hour or something, you rest. There's a time for everything. Hallelujah. Anyway, and so he gets up and says, peace, be still. What is peace? Isn't it a fruit of the Spirit? Is peace not a fruit of the Spirit? What did that peace work on? The circumstance. The peace worked on the circumstance. It worked on the wind, it worked on the sea, and there was a calm. And it doesn't matter what you're going through, speak peace to it. Hallelujah, it will calm down. Greater is he that's in you than the guy who brought the confusion. The force behind the storm is not as strong as the force of your peace. Oh, you didn't get it. I said the force behind the storm in your life right now is not as strong as the force of the peace of God in your heart. Release it. Go back to the prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Am I helping anybody here? Father, edit this. Put please. Always good to be polite to God. Now be ordering God around. You know, I've learned, because I've come to understand God is a person. God appreciates it too. You know, like the Lord said to Pa Elton many years ago, say, you people just saying Jesus, Jesus, and my Laru come along, Laru. Jesus Shekbe. If I hear Jesus from your mouth again, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hello. Hello. That's free of charge. Father, please fill our wills, minds, emotions, bodies, and circumstances with love,
joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control or temperance, and patience. So, see, when it's filled, the armor is on. We will think, speak, feel, and act like God in what? Every circumstance and in every situation. You now have the whole armor on. But that's not the end of the battle. The next thing now, you go and take the sword. The word of God. Two things the word of God use. The Bible says, He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So I use the word of God to fill my heart with the life of God and the power of God. That's one aspect. Then I also use the word of God as the legal basis on which to deal with the devil. Because every promise God has given me, in me, in Jesus, they are yea and they are amen. So I need two things. I need the life of God, and I also need the knowledge of the word of God. Is this clear? So number two is ticked. Let's get to number three. With all that in place, the armor is in place. Am I talking to anybody here? The sword of the Spirit is in place. Glory be to God. Then and only then can you now pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and what you are praying will not be noise.
Amen.
It will be effective. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says it's dynamic in its working, making tremendous power available. Glory be to God. And I want to teach you something in the next few minutes before I close. It's learn to pray frequently in tongues. You see, you need both. You need the long prayer, which you do early in the morning. That's why you get up early in the morning, 4 or 5. You know, you pray 1 hour in tongues continuously. You need that as a foundation, which you do to get conformed to the image of Jesus. Then throughout the day, once every 6 hours and at every opportunity, you're constantly praying in tongues. You know what? You keep the man under pressure. You are keeping your enemy under pressure. You are not giving him a chance to regroup. That's what Paul learned to do. Now he said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. It means more frequently. More frequently. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. 2 minutes here. 5 minutes here. When I'm in the car. If I'm with Christian brethren, like Pastor Brink and others, you know, I say, oh, let's just pray. We pray for a while. Then we just talk, enjoy ourselves. Then we pray again. You know, all the time. I've learned that you cannot take the pressure off Satan. And that's what we do. We take the pressure off him. We give him a chance to regroup. Then he hits us. And most of the times, sadly, our armor is not on. So he will bring a thought and a feeling. Remember, what does he attack? He attacks not only the mind. He also attacks the emotions. He also attacks the will. He's attacking everything. So, you know, you're going your way. You know, you don't want to do bad to anybody. Then this person just comes up and he does something that is very irritating or says something. You know, the initial natural reaction is to respond and talk back or fight or quarrel. And that kind of, but you know, if you have that armor on, that long-suffering, that gentleness, it will just absorb that thought. It will just absorb that wrong emotion. You just bring it under control and say, I'm like God, I don't talk like a man. So I'm not going to deal with him according to his folly. I'll show him mercy. I'm smarter than him. I'm not going to get to this level and start arguing and, you know, just say, okay, oh God, sorry, it's okay. God bless you. That's a wise man. But you know, you have to have this thing on for it to work in practice. We all know the theory, but practice is completely different. How many people know what I'm talking about? Oh God, I don't even remember. That's why you need to put it on daily. Practice makes perfect. The more you practice it and exercise it, the more that's what you will become. I can speak from personal experience. I'm not perfect yet. My wife knows, you know, but I'm not who I used to be in terms of my attitude. Now you do things, I still get angry. I just say, I defer the anger. And I've learned, and I'm still learning, I pray in tongues. When I'm really mad, and I do get mad. You understand? What I mean is angry. You know? I just... I'm learning. Sometimes I miss it. But not as much as I used to. You know? See? I just say, Father, confess my name in Jesus' name. Blah, blah, blah. You even know what I'm doing. I just pray in tongues a little bit. And once I do that, everything just calms down. And you know the amazing thing? When you do that, you will have the wisdom of how to behave in that situation. When you are angry, you are darkness. He that hated his brother walketh in darkness and cannot see where he is going. Anger blinds you. Hence the man says, be angry and sin not. Watch this. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you keep that anger for too long, it's going to blind you. Get rid of it. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, same thing with God. Do you know God's characteristic? Slow to anger. Because he knows. Swift to bless. Slow to anger. You become like that. You too, yours. You get angry, but it's even slow before you get angry. And even when you do, your head is still correct. Under the Holy Spirit. And you say, Holy Spirit, how do I deal with this guy? And you know something about God. I'm going to close. God knows how to deal with fools. He knows how to punish them, especially those who are think they are smart. And then he says, to the fraud I will show myself shrewd. The Holy Spirit says, just relax. We will deal with him. Leave it with me. That's happened to me before. And it may be a week later or something, you say, this is what you do. Remember Solomon and David? There's a guy called Shimei. I don't know if you remember him. Stupid boy. Insulted the king. Not even, you know, you can even feel something, but you will control yourself. You know, because, you know, this man is king, and, you know, well, this is what I think, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's something else I didn't see. It's good to be cautious. That's your stupid mouth. It will put you into trouble. The bloody man! God don't catch you. This is Nigerian English. Your own son now, he has risen up against you to kill you. You killed all the house of Saul, which is a lie. When David even had the chance to kill Saul, he didn't. David didn't kill the house of Saul. It was God who killed the house of Saul. Accused David of what he was wrong. You know, he insulted him and he didn't do it for 2 minutes. You know, if somebody's you even angry, you know, and just say something out of tone, you quickly take it back. This one, the heart was established in unrighteousness. And he was following him and abusing him. David was crying. He was barefooted. He was walking up the hill. He was leaving Jerusalem. He didn't even know if he would ever come back. He didn't know whether Absalom would kill him or not. I can imagine how David's heart was that day. Even at the badger, you know, and he was just full of sorrow. God is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It was the most wicked thing anybody could have done. His guys were so angry. The sons of Zariah. Our boys. One, oh my Lord. Who is this Benjamite that he should speak against the king? Just give us the word and we'll take his head off. Instantly. Talking about peace, long suffering. We have to learn to control ourselves. David said, even my own son is now fighting me. How much more this Benjamite? Maybe the Lord has sent him. Just leave him. That's maturity. Absalom is killed. The rebellion is squashed. David returns back to Jerusalem. You know the first guy who thumbs up? Shimei. Our boys. How are you? The first guy who shows up is Shimei. Ah, my Lord. Be not angry against what thy servant said on that day. For thy servant, swear to me, David said. The young boy is like, God, let's finish him. David said, this is a good day for Israel. So many people have already died. There's no point adding this guy to it. Okay, you will not die. No problem. I won't kill you. Fast forward. Maybe 20 years later. Maybe 30. It wasn't yesterday. Because David still ruled. Died. Then Solomon started to rule. The man hadn't changed. If he had changed, God would not have allowed David to give Solomon that order. How do you know that? It was in the same breath he gave the plans for the temple. By the Spirit. So what he, or every other thing he told Solomon was by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh yes. God brought it to his remembrance. The same God. So he said, Solomon, you are a wise man. You know what to do. That fellow who cursed me the day your brother Absalom rebelled against me. You are a wise man. Let not his hoary head go down to the grave in peace. And David gave up the ghost and went to be with his fathers. How many people know that the dead aren't dead? They're still conscious. He just went to join the class of witnesses. He was still watching to make sure Solomon obeyed that instruction. So Solomon calls Shimei. He says, you know the wickedness of your heart. And what you did to my dad. He said, but my dad has promised you he will not kill you. And I'm going to keep that word. Now, listen to me very carefully. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem without permission. It was even conditional. See how kind God is. Give him space again to change the heart. Don't leave Jerusalem without permission. No. The day you leave Jerusalem without permission, you will die. And it will not be on my hand. It will be you, your hand that caused it. She may say it is good. 3 years passed. Thank God for the Bible. That's why we need to read this Bible very... You see, you're human beings who don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You are too impatient. We're looking at a question of almost 30-something years. 3 years after Solomon had become king. 3 years later, Pastor G. Solomon had guys who were watching him. One day, his goat or sheep or something strolled out of Jerusalem. You know, covetousness will always put you in problem. The desire for material things. She may go to Jerusalem to go and look for the sheep. Couldn't he have sent somebody? Silly fellow. That's what happens when you don't have love and you are blinded and you don't have wisdom. He went to go and look for the sheep. Somebody came to Solomon. He said, he has gone out of Jerusalem. He said, bankway. See? I didn't kill you. You killed yourself. You agreed with me the day we agreed. Benaiah. Didn't God deal with him? He dealt with him. But he gave him space. You've got to be the same. Let us pray. Talk to God. Be long suffering. That's the meaning, Pastor G. That's the real meaning of long suffering. And it's really long, not 2 weeks. Talk to God. Put on the whole armor of God. Then take the sword of the Spirit. Use the word of God to draw life, fill your heart with life, and then use the word of God to make your prayers. Then pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit frequently. Long in the mornings, 1-2 hours, then later in the day, frequently. That way you're keeping the spiritual forces moving into your, all that love, joy, peace is constantly entering your heart, your will, your mind, your emotions, your circumstances, and keeping everything in control. So the devil just can't walk in. Then you'll be able to withstand all the wiles of the devil. Because the Holy Spirit will be giving you wisdom online. Because you're praying in spirit. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. You know what the devil, you won't know, but the Holy Ghost knows. And he'll be giving angels instructions, for you speak in tongues of not men and of angels. And they're moving all over in circumstances to make sure everything is working together for your good. Oh, stand to your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. I'm going to be sober. I'm going to be vigilant. Oh, we didn't even get to the perfection. We'll do that next lesson. Strengthen, settle, like, you know, there's no time to do that today. This is what God wants us to concentrate on. Take the sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Put on the whole armor. Don't leave your house any day without filling your mind, your will, your emotions with the fruit of the Spirit. It's the whole armor. Any little part that is left out, Satan can exploit it. It's a chink in the armor. That's why God... I used to wonder. You know, now I understand. That's why he told us everything. He said, and the fruit of the Spirit. So that you will know the whole thing is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and patience. Then 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 is only a expansion of how it operates in practice. Love endures long and is patient and kind. That's threefold spirit right there. Lord, I come to you.
Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
To know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away. By the power of your love.
Let's start again. Lord, I come to you. Such a powerful song.
Lord, I come.
See.
to God.
Represents your soul. That's really where the battle is. In this Christian life, that's where the battle is. The mind, the will, and the emotions. Satan is constantly sending thoughts, imaginations, and the Bible says bringing into captivity every thought, you know, feelings. That's the way I feel. It's not the way you feel. It's Satan who is making you feel that way. He has the history of your family. Make you, I feel like that. I feel depressed. I feel sad. When you've got love and joy and peace inside, change the feeling. Use the word. Speak the word. Pray in tongues. Change the feeling. Don't succumb to that. Touch that forehead. Raise the other hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come this morning, reminding me that I'm to be sober and vigilant. Because the adversary, the enemy, is constantly trying to attack. But you have given me the whole armor of God, so I'll be able to withstand all his attacks. And the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Therefore, overcoming, thwarting every plan, every thought, every imagination, every stronghold the enemy can send against me. I thank you because you're a faithful God. Your word said, in the world I will have tribulation. But he said, I should be of good cheer. Because you have overcome the world. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Help me to constantly overcome the enemy and all his machinations in the will, the mind, the emotions, my body, in my circumstances, by your blood, your word, and the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Liprikatu fridin gatoska. Zefrigia. Lombrikatoska fridia. Lukano shaka. Yehiko. Nahang sakahai. Likatolomas of Fredes. La pridikatu frenes. Zikito. Lombrikamatulomatulomatu fridufu fushingaras. Lombrikamatulomatu fridufu fushing. Zofri. Lombrikamatulomatu fridufu fushing. Zofre. Rakatu fridia. Yikitu frenes. Langaras. Zefre longa kakramatulu lumbrikamatulu mustufris tukramatulu lamratulamatulu tulumtufrifrishi zufridis tulumtulu mungar tulumtulu kramatulu lumbrifrifrishingars tufridufrishi kakramu tulumtulu mtufris lumbrikam tulumtufridufrishi zefri zufridela mungar lambrdufrines tulumtufrines jikitufrines tulumtufrines Longar do fres, jiki tu fres, longar do fres, jiki tu frines, longaras, longitos, tulumus tu frines, zufrinilia carras, tu frinilis, tusco frines, longar tulumus tu fres.
In Jesus' name,
and I will soar with your spirit lifts me on in the power.
Jesus' name. You may be seated. I'm going to say something I have said and I'm going to keep saying over the years. The primary reason why God gave us speaking in tongues is to perfect the love of God. It is sad that the church has just dissociated them. Tongues. That's the reason. The more you pray in tongues, with this, you see, if you're just praying in tongues, just to get power, or just to show off, it's just noise. But if your motivation and your purpose for praying in tongues is to release the fruit of the Spirit, which is the purpose. You know, the apostle, the great apostle, his name was Paul. You know, Paul had a problem with pride. Yeah, because he came from a rich background. He was very educated and all of that. He was one of the same person who wrote Knowledge Puffeth Up. You know why? He was puffed up. He knew. So, when God dealt with him and God showed him all of these things, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, desire the best gifts. He said, but I will show you a more excellent way. Follow after charity. And desire to prophesy. Then the next thing he spoke about for the next one chapter is tongues. It's tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Tongues. Tongues. Because you see, after all, how is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts? By the Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. He was one who shed the blood. So who is going to develop it? The same Holy Spirit. Who's going to perfect it? The same Holy Spirit. Don't just pray in tongues, just be praying in tongues. Pray in tongues because you want to use it to develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life. When things are going wrong, another, quietly start praying in tongues. Think and speak. When you can't speak in tongues, think. You know, say, Lord, have mercy, help me. And keep a humble and a clean attitude. You will discover that God will help you. You know, I think the problem here has been wrong motivation. You know, wrong understanding. And people haven't, you know, connected these things together. That's the whole connection. And you will always have all kinds of terrible people like Shimei in your life. God will send them. Some of them will change. You will use love to change some of them and they'll become good people. That's your joy. You're going to add something to your crown. God bless you.